Ladies and gentlemen, good morning and welcome to the Sterling and Wilson Renewable Energy Limited Q1 FY26 earnings conference call. Please note, this conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on date of this call. These statements are not the guarantee of future performance of the company, and it may involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. As a reminder, all participant lines will remain in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal the operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone telephone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I will now hand the conference over to Mr. Sandeep Thomas Mathew, Head of IR, for opening remarks. Thank you, and over to you.
Yeah, a very good morning to all, and welcome to our Q1 FY26 earnings call. We have with us today Mr. C.K. Thakur, our Global CEO, Mr. Ajit Pratap Singh, our CFO, and SGA, who are our IR partners. We will start today's call with key operational highlights for the quarter and the industry outlook, followed by the financial highlights, post which we will open for Q&A. Thank you, and over to you now, C.K.
Thanks, Sandeep, and a very good morning to all the participants on this call. I shall begin with a quick update on our business operations and outlook. FY26 is shaping up to be a very good year for the domestic solar EPC market from the strong bid pipeline that we are seeing build up. Awarding activities from both PSU and private IPPs is expected to begin to gain strong traction soon compared to the relatively quiet first quarter that we have seen for us and the market as a whole since bidding activities got pushed out due to various reasons, including escalating border conflict, among others. This push-out has resulted in our bid pipeline growing significantly, and now it is 30 GW, including over 26 GW pipeline for India alone. We expect the majority of this domestic pipeline to be awarded before December 25. Over and above, the solar EPC pipeline will continue to target BESS projects and select hybrid wind EPC projects as well. Our international pipeline also appears very promising, and we have been focusing on select PV and BESS projects in Africa and Europe. We started this fiscal year by bagging our first turnkey orders when we were declared L1 for a 290 MW project in Gujarat, worth approximately INR 813 crore from a leading PSU. On the execution side, our teams have been making good progress and commissioned over 1 GW of projects in Q1 alone. In terms of execution, our scale-up plans continue to remain on track, and the improved top line of Q1, which has grown 93% year-on-year, is reflective of the same. Ajit will also update you on some of the positive results of our efforts to increase non-fund-based limits during this quarter. Our unexecuted order book was approximately 8,348 crore Indian rupees as of June 2025, and is expected to improve going forward with a pickup in domestic and international order inflows. Over 88% of this order book comprises domestic Indian projects, while the international UOV comprises primarily two projects each in Europe and South Africa. I would like to reiterate that we continue to judiciously evaluate projects in India and overseas and are mindful of having to remain patient in order to target profitable orders. Our EPC business is lumpy in terms of order inflow, and timelines for achieving project closures could vary depending on a host of factors, including finalization of contractual terms, land, and transmission availability-related issues. Our O&M portfolio outlook remains strong and continues to steadily increase. Our current portfolio stands at 9.3 GW as of June 2025. As we commission our large stream of EPC projects, which are nearing completion, it will feed our O&M portfolio and should aid a meaningful pickup in revenues in this segment from second half of FY26. In addition to our organic O&M portfolio growth, we are also targeting strategic third-party O&M contracts, which can be accretive to our existing portfolio both in India and overseas. Now, moving to industry outlook, India's clean energy journey has been nothing short of transformative thus far. Over the past decades, the country has recorded a remarkable surge in solar energy capacity, expanding from just 2.8 gigawatt in 2014 to 105 gigawatt by financial year 25. We have also witnessed a sharp decline in solar tariff, which have plummeted by nearly 80% from Indian rupees 10.95 per unit in 2011 to just 2.25 per unit today. This unprecedented cost reduction has made solar, even when coupled with the battery storage to provide a round-the-clock solution, more affordable than conventional thermal power, fundamentally resetting the country's power economics. Reflecting this momentum, renewable continues to command an overwhelming share of all power sector's investments. India has also emerged as the world's top destination for clean energy financing, and clean energy investments have been growing rapidly, which is a testament to the investors' confidence in India's green energy futures. Given India's renewable energy ambitions, it is clear that the pace of new capacity additions will continue to remain strong for the India to achieve 300 gigawatt target by 2030. We are also seeing firsthand the ambitious plans of some of our clients driving this growth. For example, the Government of India has laid out an ambitious roadmap to significantly scale up in the NTPC's green energy portfolio, aiming to expand its current renewable capacity from 6 gigawatt to 26 gigawatt in the near term, with a bold target of reaching 60 gigawatt by 2030. In a major policy boost just a day ago, the Cabinet Committee on Economic Affairs approved enhanced investment threshold for both NTPC and NLC India, signaling a strong intent to accelerate the clean energy transition. On one hand, while the integration of renewable energy is gaining strong momentum, the challenge of grid stability is going to become increasingly pronounced. The 2025 blackout in Spain stands as a cautionary tale. It underscores the vulnerability of power systems heavily reliant on renewables without corresponding investments in grid-forming technologies and robust energy storage solutions. This incident serves as a reminder that the clean energy transitions must be underpinned by parallel advancements in both grid infrastructure and storage system to ensure long-term reliability and resilience. In this context, battery storage are emerging as a vital enabler for renewable energy integration. The Government of India is actively advancing policies around this while also promoting circularity in solar and wind component life cycles and exploring green hydrogen potentials. This plays a crucial role in grid stabilization, power optimizations, and ensuring round-the-clock electricity supply, particularly as renewables penetration increases. Encouragingly, the cost of battery storage has come down dramatically, from 10 lakh to around 2.5 lakh per megawatt per month, making it more viable than ever before. Despite the progress, India's installed BESS capacity remains modest at just 205 megawatt. However, a significant pipeline is building up. 3.3 gigawatt of projects are already lined up, and another 12.5 gigawatt is currently under various stages of tendering process. The country has set an ambitious target of achieving 74 gigawatt of BESS capacities by 2031-32, which will be instrumental in balancing the intermittency of renewable power generation. Ministry of Power recently launched the second tranche of viability gap funding scheme aimed at catalyzing the development of 30 gigawatt hour of BESS projects backed by a budgetary allocation of Indian rupees 5,400 crores. Of this, 25 gigawatt hour will be distributed across 15 states, tailored to their individual storage requirements, while 5 gigawatt hour has been earmarked for NTPC alone. These projects are expected to be commissioned within 18 months from the signing of the battery energy storage purchase agreement or power purchase agreement, reflecting the urgency and seriousness with which India is approaching storage deployment. Beyond batteries, the government is also reinvigorating pumped hydro storage. It aims to add around 3,000 megawatt of hydro pumped storage capacity in the near term, with a broader objective to scale total pumped storage capacity to 50 gigawatt over the next 5 to 6 years. These developments signal a comprehensive strategy to strengthen India's grid infrastructures and make the power sector's future ready for high renewables landscape. On the international EPC side, we are increasingly seeing attractive opportunities opening up primarily in Africa and Europe. We are also seeing a good number of European-based projects to complement the renewables spurt seen in the market. Our current progress in ongoing projects has also been very positive. And with this, I'll ask Ajit to take you through the consolidated financial highlights. Thank you very much.
Thank you, CKT. We are very pleased to report a very strong first quarter performance, with our top line growing around 93% year-on-year to INR 1762 crore. Sequential decline in revenue is attributable to seasonality impact, since Q1 is usually slower than Q4. We also wish to thank our employees, suppliers, contractors, other stakeholders who put their utmost efforts to achieve this strong revenue growth in this quarter, despite the disruption in various projects caused by cross-border conflict. Our majority of the projects were in Rajasthan and Gujarat, and those were disrupted for around 40-45 days. Despite that challenge, we could achieve this revenue growth. All three segments, domestic EPC, international EPC, and O&M, contributed with a strong performance in quarter one. With respect to our gross margins, our consolidated Q1 gross margin was approximately 11.7%, while our full year FY25 gross margin was 10.1%. So this has moved from 10.1 to now 11.7% first quarter. Softening of some key input costs helped at gross margin positively during the current quarter. Looking at it segment-wise, our domestic EPC gross margin was 10.8%, and that's above our target range of 10%, while our international EPC gross margin was approximately 12.3%, and more reflective of the steady state margin profile of that segment. Our O&M margin trended back to now 23%, which is again reflective of recurring margin profile of that segment. Our operational EBITDA, which is operating revenue less recurring overheads, amounted to INR 123 crore this quarter. That's 7% operational EBITDA margin, compared to approximately INR 25 crore we have seen in quarter 1 FY25. And for full year, Q4 FY25, it was 158 crore. Our recurring overhead has been steady at INR 83 crore in Q1 compared to INR 77 crore in Q1 FY25 and INR 105 crore last quarter. Reported Q1 EBITDA was INR 102 crore at a 5.8% EBITDA margin and up 175% year-on-year compared to INR 37 crore in Q1 FY25 and is very close to INR 116 crore reported in Q4. Reported Q1 PAT was INR 39 crore compared to INR 5 crore for same period last year and INR 55 crore in the prior quarter. The tax expense has been high during the current quarter due to higher standalone profitability in SWREL as well as in South Africa and Spain projects. Now coming to balance sheet, our gross borrowing have declined during the quarter due to start of repayment of our IREDA loan. Our net debt has increased by around 205 crore during the current quarter because last quarter we have taken a disbursement from Bank of Maharashtra for 200 crore and that amount was utilized in the first quarter. A key development that I would like to highlight is a two-notch rating upgrade to BBB+ that we have received for our working capital facilities and term loan. We have also made progress on our banking limits front and have obtained fresh sanctions from 3 new banks for around 900 crore plus surety bonds of around 200 crore we have got. We have also received favorable indication from our existing consortium banks as well as few new other banks for our request for additional credit lines. Our improved credit rating has also helped us in getting our LC&BG charges reduced going forward, and we have made significant progress in that direction with some of the consortium members. With this, we can now open the floor to questions and answers.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use their handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We take the first question from the line of Kunal Shah from DAM Capital Advisors Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. So just a couple of things. So one on the muted order inflow bit. Now, could you just help? I mean, you did touch upon it, but was it more to do with the overall tendering activity being soft, or we are still letting go of orders due to aggressive competitive intensity? And related to that, you know, how do you see now for the full year order inflow shaping up? Like, do we maintain the previous guidance?
Yeah, hi, good morning, everyone. Primarily the order has been pushed from last few quarters to Q1 to maybe Q2 also, mainly because of few reasons. One prominently could be the LLM-2 requirements for the cell, and industry is just watching to see that how the domestic solar modules could be produced and what price and all. So they have, all of the developers have applied for the relief on the timelines for the projects. That is one of the reasons. The other reasons for the projects being pushed to the quarter one and quarter two is basically some of the, I mean, connectivities issues. So connectivities which were all planned by March 2025 have been pushed towards 25-26, particularly in Rajasthan and even on the Gujarat, some of the large sites of systems and all. So from our side, although the Q1 has been a little lumpy, but we are sure that with all these pushed to quarter two and quarter three, there would be large opportunities, and we are well placed to follow the guidance that we have given to the investors.
Understood. This is very helpful. Just wanted to confirm, you mentioned about relaxation on ALCM timelines, right? What we are sort of
talking about. So deadline for the LLM or LLM-2 on the cell has been decided by ministries as 1st June 2006, right? And you see the total capacities in the countries, they are not basically, as of now, the manufacturing capability and other things are not up to scale to that level that can meet the requirement of the country's development plan. So therefore, people have been approaching to extend the timelines. Now, if that happens, then there is a confusion on the pricing on the module side. So that the pricing that could be considered is the international modules or international cell with the domestic tolling, or maybe the purely domestic. So that's the reason basically. All of them have been just watching, right? So this is the reason basically mostly that the development projects have been shifted. In fact, from last quarter one to quarter one, maybe few of them will go to quarter two, but quarter two pipeline seems to be very, very strong.
Understood. This is very helpful. Second, on the cross-border tension, could you just highlight on the quantum of revenue impact here? I mean, because you mentioned about, 15 to 20 days of impact. I missed that number, but could you just highlight on the revenue impact here?
Yeah, so we could have done better than what we have been showing now. From the last week of April to the May almost full, the entire projects bordering Pakistan's I mean, like Gujarat and Rajasthan, projects were evacuated, and again it was remobilized. So we lost the productivity for, let's say, for 40-45 days, and that has, I mean, definitely impacted our, you know, the revenue generation for this month, this year. You know, going forward, because of monsoon, some impact could be there, but primarily we feel we are very strong and we could be, I mean, with some adjustment because of monsoon and all, but nearly we should be on our target.
Understood. And one last thing on the banking limits, you know, like over the last 12 odd months, there has been like a slew of ratings upgrade, you know, consistently, but the commensurate increase in limits, actual available limits from the banks has been like very slow, you know. So how to think of LCs opening up over the next 3 to 4 months? Like, could you just help with the current positioning and, you know, how do you see the non-fund based limits opening up?
So this year we have seen quite good progress. This quarter, rating got upgraded now to BBB+, and that has helped us in achieving new sanctions for around 900 crore from new banks who we are going to add in our consortium. Over and above, we are also speaking to our existing consortium members as well as few new banks, and we are hopeful to get additional around 1500 crore lines in this quarter.
So you're saying 900 plus 1500 is the total number, right, that we are looking at?
Right. Over and above, we also got surety bonds from insurance companies. So 3 insurance companies we have inducted and now using surety bond also for as a replacement of our EMD and performance land guarantee requirement.
Understood. And just one last bit on the bookkeeping, like, you know, you mentioned about softening of input cost in your presentation for, you know, the reason for improvement in gross margins. Now, could you just touch upon here, like, what are these costs, I mean, in that sense?
Yeah, so what Rajit has mentioned about the input cost is basically few of the orders that we had was with the turnkey solutions, right, so including the models and all. So because of, you know, the tariff war and all those things, the U.S., I mean, imposing another, so there was, I mean, a good amount of, you know, the models, I mean, available in the market, right? So because of the overall the requirements, I mean, demand issues, so the model prices have gone down. And some of the models that, I mean, the portions of models that were supplied during these quarters, that has given us advantage. So on our normal way, if you see, then we could have achieved probably what was the stated margin on the project. But the softening of some of the raw materials cost, like modules prices and all, that has supported us to increase our the margin on the projects.
No, sir, just sorry for one of this follow-up, but it should not benefit or, you know, the margin should not be upwards or downwards, right, because of the back-to-back billing. So could you just help here? Because irrespective of model pricing going up or down, now because we are doing back-to-back billing to hedge ourselves, why should it even be advantageous?
No, so basically when you have got the project, it was at X price of model, suppose, right? And we have seen that we have some cushion in the project schedule. And going forward, then we renegotiated the price of the models. And the price that was fixed, I mean, have gone under change to take advantage of the existing market price. That was our business strategy. And that has supported us to increase the bottom line.
Yeah, but so this strategy can work the other way around as well, right? In case if there is any inflationary bit on the modules. So just wanted to...
No, but then the order was not stopped. Order was already... I mean, placed. So we were in any case protected.
Okay. Understood. Yeah. So that's it from my side. This is very... Sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah. So we have around 1 to 2 months time, you know, between the order placement and all these kind of, you know, understanding also. That has supported us to renegotiate better and get the pricing. Yeah.
Understood.
Thanks
a lot, sir.
Between we getting the order and placing the order for modules, that also helps us in better negotiation of the terms.
Okay, got it. This is very helpful, sir. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Akshay Mane from Nuvama Wealth Management Limited. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for providing me the opportunity. So, just wanted to understand, just a follow-up question from the point of view where the order inflows were lower in this quarter. I mean, going ahead, I mean, we've always maintained that order inflows of around 6,000-8,000 crore for full year. Can we expect a similar guidance for this year as well?
Yeah, so last call, if you can recall, so we were giving guidance to the market that we'll be growing at 15%-20% on year-on-year basis. So for sure, I mean, what was achieved during last financial years will be doing better than the last ones at the rate of, say, 20% growth on the order booking.
Okay. And another thing, I mean, see, there was this news regarding the ISTS we were getting, I mean, expired. Now, is there any further update on extension of the same, or if there is any clarity on that policy which will actually hamper the round of bidding or any of that sort?
Yeah, firstly, also, I think this is one of the reasons, I mean, apart from the ALMM-2 that I spoke, so connectivity is also an issue. So one, that the infrastructure's readiness is getting delayed. Other is that the ISTS waivers, people are seeking approval for extension, which has not been given as of now. But then the industries, particularly in C&I sectors, they are expecting that this to come, right, so that they can get the advantage onto the tariff that they have committed in terms of pricing and all. So yes, you are right. So the ISTS waivers, of course, not announced as of now, but this is impacting the overall growth of the industries.
Okay. And lastly, our other expenses were slightly on the higher side. Do we have any other exceptional item in the other expenses for this quarter?
Yes, actually, we have impaired some of the receivables on a conservative basis, around 21 crore for one of our international projects. That's why other expenses was a little high. So if you remove that, then we are in line and consistent in terms of our recurring overheads.
Okay. And just lastly, any update on the couple of projects? I mean, I think there was this NTPC project where we were facing delays because of module supplies. So I believe that would have been sorted currently.
So basically, out of two projects, one project, Khavda 1, has almost been sorted. Hardly 100 megawatt modules supply is still pending. But Khavda 2, yes, it is not sorted because we thought of, the project getting commissioned by June, July, but the module supply has been delayed. And around 200 megawatt kind of modules have been supplied, and rest is underway. The monsoon is still impacting, so the project would be further going well. But then, because of all such delays, you have given very strong notice for time extensions and the claim to NTPC. So in any case, on our project finances, because of delays on account of the customer input, is not going to impact us.
Okay. That was really helpful. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in the interest of time and fairness to others, we request you to restrict to two questions per participant and rejoin the question queue. We take the next question from the line of Puneet from HSBC. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you so much. My first question is, in your overall order book, what percentage of value is the projects with modules?
Percentage-wise, two things. One, that until last financial years, some of the orders which were placed to PVPC that has been cancelled those were with the modules and that have come up now for the finalizations. So on, and out of that we have won, I mean the first one that we have won, right, in the first quarter, this is with modules. So for in the last financial years, if you see, percentage wise, could be around 25 to 30%, right? This year the trend could be reversed because of the LLM requirement. The most of these tenders are expected with the BOS schemes.
Understood. So, so then the responsibility will be with the developers to bring module, not yours, right? Or will that module part come in later?
No, so I mean it will be the responsibility of the developers. So they will take the module in their scope and give us the free issue items. So that's the basically trend we are expecting because of the uncertainty on the LLM2 decisions and all.
Secondly, if you can also comment a bit more on the color of your order inflow for this quarter. Was there any battery projects and who are the key customers for you in this quarter?
So I mean, trend is reversing. So now people are going under FDRE schemes or to remove the intermittency of the renewable synergy nature. Now people are going for more for the hybrid. So that's the trend being seen. Of course, I don't, today if you see in the country, we have only 205 megawatt battery capacity which is added. But in the pipeline seems to be, as I've told in my the opening speech also, so around 3 gigawatt clarity has come up, right? So various options and other things. For us, I mean, for sure, we are discussing with few private clients which are of the large size of the hybrid orders. That will include the modules, that will, I mean, the solar, that will include the wind and the battery storage. I don't want to name those clients at this stage, but then, yes, there are few large size orders which are expected.
But in Q1, none of those were there. Fair to assume that?
No, Q1, I told that we have only one orders from NTPC, and that is the turnkey EPC solutions with modules, but not with the BESS and other schemes.
Okay, okay, understood. And lastly, any update from Reliance side on when they want to scale up for you?
Yeah, so basically, all of you are aware that we are doing one pilot project for them, and that project is the combination of various technologies and all, the project is going well. Other than this project, then they are still planning for the Kutch regions and other areas. So, I mean, frankly speaking, the opportunities are not reflected in the market. But as and when it comes, I mean, all of you will come to know that.
Okay, great. Thank you so much. All the best.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Anuj Jain from Globe Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello. Am I audible?
Yes. Yes, you are.
Yeah, sir, just want to understand, projects which we are doing from the solar EPC side and the order book, how much is allocated towards this battery energy storage system? What is the share of this BESS in the order book?
So if you see the total, the plan for the financial year two, this is the coming financial year in the next 9 months, the 3 gigawatts out of the total 26 gigawatt opportunity in India, 3 gigawatt battery storage visibility is there. So, I mean, out of 26 gigawatt kind of battery, so understand this is around what percentage? It's around 15%, right? But the, as I have told in the previous answer, that the trend is reversing. Now, under the FDRE schemes and the hybrid project installation schemes and all, so going forward, the battery shares has to improve to avoid the intermittencies of the renewables, solar renewables and the others. So the share will increase. As of now, for us, we are better placed because we are doing one of the largest projects for one of the clients in the solar. So we are better placed in terms of integration, in terms of understanding, in terms of everything.
So what is the revenue percentage contribution from this space as of now?
As of now, I mean, let's say in 3 gigawatt, if you are able to grab around 400-500 megawatt of hours, That would be the combination of our total battery space in this financial year going forward. Last year, there was hardly anything. One of the projects which we were doing, unfortunately, it has gone under, you know, the legals with the SECI and all. So that project is not stalled, basically. So, but going forward, in this particular financial year, percentage-wise difficult to say at this stage, but could be, I mean, minuscule. I mean, it's, let's say 500 megawatt-hour kind of thing.
Okay, okay. So going forward, I mean, from probably next financial year onwards, we can expect some meaningful revenue from this battery energy segment, if I'm right.
Absolutely, absolutely, for sure.
And second question, sir, I mean, like you have...
So what I say, the interesting point here is that under the new scheme of the Government of India, now for all the new tenders, 20% capacity of the solar plants have to be supported with the battery, right? So, but this traction has started showing just now. So under this scheme, every single tender which will come out, that will be, demanding the battery installation of 20%. So let's say if you have 100 rupees revenue, so for sure, then the battery cost of the solar plants and this, I mean, more or less being comparable, slightly higher from the solar and all. So with this, you can expect that it now going onwards, 20% revenue streams would be throughout the country. The industrial scenario would be like this. But, I mean, this traction is to be seen. This is the policy, right? And then tenders have not started coming out, but I'm expecting that the quarter two, quarter three, most of the tenders will come on this scheme. And therefore, I mean, it would be reasonable to assume that at least 10% revenue streams would be coming from the battery and the other storage solutions.
Got it, sir. Got it. And my second question is, like, we have increased gross margin in this particular quarter, and our EBITDA margins are hovering in the range of, you know, 5-odd%. So from the perspective of next, you know, 2 to 3 years or 4 years, What is the guidance which you can give for the EBITDA margins and gross margins? I mean, definitely it should be a range, kind of range, where we want to be. I mean, what are the expected levels of EBITDA margin where we want to go?
Yeah, so our operational EBITDA, if you see, it's around 7% for the quarter. And overall EBITDA was around 5.8%, and we expect to maintain the same range going forward.
Okay, okay. So this is a comfortable range.
Right.
Okay, sir. That's it from my side. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Faisal Hawa from H.G. Hawa & Company. Please go ahead. Faisal, if you can please unmute your line and ask your question.
Hello. Hello.
Yes, Faisal, please go ahead.
So my question is that, sir, what is the kind of order book that we can expect from overseas now in this current year, financial year? And second is, sir, what is the involvement now of the promoters, Shapurji Palanji and Khurshed, with this company? Is it now, are they more involved, or has the involvement come down?
No, so, you know, the management, you know, the share holding patterns is on the public domain, right? And Mr. Khurshed Dariwala is well involved into the companies, you know, as a chairman of the company. So as far as the management controls and other things are there, it is with the professionals under the guidance of Chairman Mr. Daruwala. On the order guidelines that you have asked for, so I have already told that, I mean, you should be expecting, let's say, 20% over and above the last financial year. Right? So you are well placed.
So, sir, one more question is that with the overseas orders now coming down, and a large part of the central office expenses were coming from legal expenses. Do you feel that these expenses now could go down a lot, because that is what is causing our EBITDA margin to go down because of this large legal expenses? And also, do we expect any kind of large write-offs in this year on the debtor fronts?
So, In terms of order book, we are expecting new orders from international locations also. We are bidding in some of the geographies and are in active discussions. So that will come. In terms of legal expenses, because still most of the legal cases are continuing, the legal expenses also will continue at least for some time period.
So for two more financial years?
Yeah, at least 1.5-2 years.
And what would that, would the quantum of these legal expenses be around 40 crores a year or more than that?
Yeah, I think around 40 crores a year.
So in 2 years from today, maybe these expenses will come down to zero.
Right.
Okay.
And we don't expect any substantial write-off in terms of any receivables, because most of the receivables are indemnified with legacy one, and current receivables, these are all good. So.
And sir, do you have any idea of what the NTPC pipeline will be for this financial year?
Come back again, please. NTPC?
Bid pipeline.
Yeah, so if you see the NTPC plan, so they want to become 60 gigawatt renewable company by 2032. They have now the operating asset of around 6 gigawatt, right? And the government of India, as you have told in my opening speech also, so they have allowed them to invest around 20,000 crores in the renewables, I think, this year and the next year. So steadily they will, touching up to 60 gigawatt, but by 2030, they are targeting around 16 gigawatt.
Okay. And sir, is the competitive intensity in the EPC players going down or is it still very high?
No, so the competitive spirit, of course, is going high sometimes, I can say. This quarter, we have seen a spurt of a lot of infrastructures coming for the solar EPC and all. I'm not sure how long and how best they can be continuing on, but then yes, it is cyclic. So sometimes you see that, there are only few, but suddenly you find so many people coming in, they take one or two projects, not able to execute, again they will exit. So this kind of situation is there. But yes, people are looking for this as a very attractive market. So this competition is pretty, in my opinion, will be there for some time.
I appreciate you answering my question so well, sir.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Mayank Chaturvedi from HSBC Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, good morning, sir. So just one question from my end. In your order book of about 8,000 crore order, how much of that will be dependent on DCR cell integration in the EPC projects?
No, so that's what I was just speaking. So as of now, the deadline for the DCR is around, is 1st June 2026, right? And now in 9 months' time, out of the 26-27 gigawatt opportunity that you have seen in the market, right? People are just waiting. If 27 megawatts have to be added, there has to be extension of the timelines. So that is one particular point. And otherwise, you can say in 9 months' time, if everybody decides to go for the international distance. But the best part is that in our existing order book as of now, we don't have anything which is the DCR components. Everything is basically the international cell and the module side. So we don't have the, in the UAV and the orders that we are getting, it is not affected because of this.
Okay. All right. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Nitin Gosar from BOI Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
So just one clarification, if you can quantify in terms of rupee crore, you talked about 3 gigawatt worth of battery order which will float into the system this financial year. Would it be fair to multiply this number with 2.5 lakh per per megawatt battery price? How should one quantify this overall opportunity?
So the battery price is continuously evolving, but the EPC cost on this, you should be expecting between 3.5 to 4, crores per megawatt.
Okay, and this is pure EPC or this will also include the component, the battery itself?
Yeah, so no, we will do only BOS in battery projects.
Yeah, so basically trend is that the battery is being supplied by them free. So outside India, basically battery, it comes with the battery supply, so we have to tie up. So we did few small projects in Mali, Nigeria, which were along with the battery and all. So it is both basically. So I mean, in domestic market, it's mostly the BOS, but outside, I mean, it could be with battery. Now, even if it is with battery, we will carefully evaluate and we can go with the turnkey solution. So, I mean, that's fine.
Got it, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Himanshu Duggar from Stylus Holding. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. My first query was on, it's a follow-up on the previous thing in management commented that there has been some write-off of receivables. I think last 5 to 6 quarters we have seen this kind of happening on and off. Is there any, you know, approximate number around this, you know, what could be a potential risk category in the overall receivables that we have today?
So this write-off which I spoke, that 21 crore, that we have taken on conservative basis, there is no actually write-off. We have impaired considering that we might have to put some expense in future in a particular project in international location. And otherwise, the receivables are good and there is no provision which need to be made.
So, sir, currently, what is the more than 6 months receivables outstanding? If you could share that number.
I will get back to you.
I don't think
I will get back to you.
Hardly anything.
Thank you.
Primary retention amount, I'll give you the exact number sometime.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in the interest of time and fairness to others, we request you to restrict to one question per participant. We take the next question from the line of Aegis Lakhani from Unify AMC. Please go ahead.
Hi. Sigiri sir, could you just call out that the 3 gigs of BESS, is that more private sector or more public sector? And also, sir, you know, I'm trying to get a slightly more nuanced, textured view that, so let's say that there is an existing asset which is in place and then somebody wants to add the BESS component over and above on top of that. What are the operational nuances or challenges? And, you know, how easy or difficult is it to do it? Is there like, does that mean that the, you know, the like the flow of current has to stop for a period of time till you integrate it? What are the challenges with regards to it? And who is making these transitions today? Is it the private sector guys who are early in this trend or is it PSU pack?
Yeah, so thanks. I mean, if you see the overall the battery schemes, basically one that I have just informed the group that basically as per the policy, you know, 20%, let's say, the obligation for the battery to remove the intermittencies, so that would be the requirement going forward. Now, if, I mean, this 20% would be detrimental for everybody, whether PSU or IPPs. And that is important to ensure the grid stability and security and other things. So, I mean, any going forward, so whatever bids will be coming, that would be with both the PSU and ICU. As of now, the large size few orders which are seeing getting traction in the market is basically coming from IPPs, which is visible. But for PSU side, if you see, I mean, NTPC and all, they are, I mean, discussing on the long-term basis because they have to, I mean, go for a massive scaling up of the battery and storage and all. But no such one tender was there for the small that has also been cancelled because of, you know, some reasons. But the traction will happen in both the, I mean, sectors, the PSU and IPPs. Coming to your another questions of how difficult it would be to integrate in the existing facilities, it all depends on the land available. So not necessary that in the existing only you have to install. Now, maybe, I mean, the overall schemes you have to see that you can choose any locations and all. But preferably, if you have to install into the same locations, As far as the integration is concerned, you don't have any nuances. You can do that. I mean, solar plant need not be stopped and all during the commissioning. Yeah, so I think I don't find any challenge.
Yeah, okay. And so just a follow-up on that is, let's say that, you know, NTPC has an existing parcel in, say, I don't know, Gujarat, Rajasthan, and now they have decided that for an existing running asset, they want to put up a VESS. Is that going to be like a project-specific order, or again, for the same, there has to be a tender that has to be issued and, you know, the same process has to be followed?
No, obviously, they have to go only through the tendering process, and the project code, project name, everything would be, location could be same, but the project number would be different. So they have to go through the tendering process only.
Mr. Aejas Lakhani, please rejoin the question queue. We move on to the next question from the line of Gaurav from Harshad Gandhi Securities. Please go ahead.
Thanks a lot for the opportunity. Sir, I'm referring to note number 7A and 7C of our consolidated notes to accounts. Sir, there are a couple of customer claims total amounting to approximately 800 crores, which according to us are not tenable. So just I just wanted to inquire, so if the ultimate outcome doesn't come in our favor, then do these claims are part of the immunity agreement with the promoters? Referring to road number 7A and 7C.
Not subject to indemnity.
Both the claims. If the outcome is not our favor, then it's going to have a major impact on our operation, right?
Some small portion is indemnified and some portion is not indemnified in these claims. Portion is indemnified.
Because the reason for asking, if we lose the case, then it can have major impact on our operation, right? Because the claims are in running hundreds of crores.
Yeah, but based on the feedback we got from our lawyers and that has been agreed upon by the auditors also, that's why there is no impairment or any provision made for any such expenses.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Chirag Shah from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead. Chirag, please unmute your line and ask your question.
Am I audible?
Yes, please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, I just wanted to understand how BESS project would be different in terms of execution time and margins as against standalone solar projects.
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Margin would be same as the solar projects, and in terms of timelines, it will be, I mean, lesser than the solar projects because the complexity involved here is less, the civil works requirement is less. So you can say, I mean, 15 to 20% less timelines and same margin.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Subhash from Value Investment. Please go ahead.
Hi, my question is more towards the guidance that you had given. So last year it was 7,000 crore, but we ended up doing 6,300 crore. But now looking at the Q1, the revenue is more than 90% of last year Q1. And also considering that 45 days was affected in some regions due to the border tensions, as you mentioned, will Q2 be better than Q1? And also, for the FY26 full year, can we do almost more than 8,000 crore revenue? And along with this, I just have one question you can answer along with this. So what is the per megawatt hour revenue conversion in battery energy storage, EPC projects?
per megawatt hour, right?
Yeah, correct.
Yeah, so this is the first, I'll answer your first question. So
okay.
On the revenue guidance, I mean, as I have already told that, I mean, it's a 20% growth year on year. So, so from last year to this year, I mean, it will be around 20%. On the order booking side also in the same regions. For the next quarter's revenue, I mean, we could be expecting, could have been expecting similar or a little better, but because of it, productivity loss during the monsoon season and all, so it would be slightly, I mean, cyclic. Right? So on the second questions, basically, and the BOS side, so let's say the BOS revenue could be around 30 to 40 lakhs per megawatt hour kind of things, right? So that's our, what our the pricing is. So depending upon the size of the battery that we are running, what the revenue will be coming in this range.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Vedant Sarda from Nirmal Bang Securities Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Am I audible, sir?
Yes, you are.
Sir, I just wanted to know the accounting method we are following, input method or output method for the contracts?
Input method, percentage of completion.
Yeah, like on the basis of 10% cost we have incurred, 10% revenue we are recognizing on a budget basis.
Right. Your voice is cracking. Yeah.
Okay. So, sir, cotton quarter, variability we should not see in the revenue.
No. Direct cost plus margin, that gives us the revenue.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Darshika Khemka from AV FinCorp. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for the opportunity. My question is mainly around the international orders, particularly the Nigeria order. Some clarity on that in terms of what the progress currently stands at. And even if we get the order this year, firstly, what is the probability of getting the order considering the entire scenario that is going on in terms of the geopolitical scene? And even if we get the order, I'm sure the revenues are not going to come in this year. And we are also seeing some sort of write-off that we have on the international orders revenue. So I just want to get some more clarity on the international order book. And what's the scenario like? What is the probability like of getting more orders in the international space?
Yeah, so in our business models, if you see for this year, financial years, our target is to get around $250 to $300 million orders, primarily in Europeans and the African markets, split between these two. On the Nigeria side, I mean, it's a procedural delay. I mean, unfortunately, it is taking longer time. But yes, the project is on. And as you have all rightly told that even if it comes, it will take some time, right? Financial closures and the NTP and also the revenue for this year will not come from this project. Yeah, so these two points you asked, no? That's okay.
Yeah, would like to respond earlier questions also. One was on the receivables more than 6 months. It's around 330 crores. Out of total receivables of around 1500. And in terms of 7A and 7B, note to the accounts that Conti claim is under 7A, which is not indemnifiable. Although there won't be any impact because the cash is already out, so in terms of cash flow, there won't be any impact. However, if the order goes against us, there could be impact in PL, but not in cash flow. But because we are already cash out in that.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Mohit from Hem Securities Limited. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. Sir, I have a few bookkeeping questions. So, sir, when subsidiaries are making constant losses, why companies not making DTAs? And which all subsidiaries are making losses?
In international, whatever projects we are doing, those all are in profits. In South Africa, Spain and Italy, all are making profits. The losses are from those subsidiaries where there is no project, but there are certain overheads like US, Australia, Dubai.
So, means that all the legacy orders are now complete in the subsidiaries as well, and we will not see any losses coming in the future.
Yeah. Legacy projects, they have losses because of primarily because of the legal expenses and certain overheads we have in those projects, like as I said, in Dubai, Australia, US.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, with that, we conclude the question and answer session. And also, we conclude today's conference call. On behalf of Sterling and Wilson Renewable Energy Limited, that concludes this conference. We thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.